The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
You're hearing a narrative right now, and you've heard this for the longest time. What America needs comprehensive immigration reform. You've heard this. What America needs amnesty. America needs a new law. You even heard this from Donald Trump. He sent the Republicans and the Democrats to go off and come up with this new bill to fix immigration. Okay, spoiler alert. You don't need a new bill. America does not need comprehensive immigration reform. America does not need a new bipartisan bill. It does not need a new bill from the Republicans. It does not need a new bill from the Democrats. It doesn't need a new bill to be signed by President Trump. It needs absolutely nothing. Let me say that to you again. If you want to fix immigration in America, you don't need to do anything. Apart from one thing. And this is where it gets hard. Because there is not a political will to do this in your country. All you need to do, if you really want to fix immigration, or the vast majority of it, is enforce the laws that are already on your books. What frustrates me about people, regardless of your political ideology, is you think comprehensive immigration reform is what's needed, and you think it's going to work. What frustrates me is this from a principle point of view is you already have laws in your books that you don't enforce. What is adding more laws going to do if you don't decide to enforce them? And also, if you have a situation where people are going, I don't care what laws you have in your books, I'm still coming to America. What is more paperwork, more legal terms going to do to fix it? You have a situation right now where you have sufficient laws on the books that are passed, that are in statute, that you just need to enforce, and you solve the vast majority of illegal immigration. For those who are curious going, well, what are those laws? Let me explain them to you. Let's start with the majority of illegal immigration, which is 60%, which is visa overstays. They are in your system. You know about them. They are people who went through a background check, who went through some type of screening, and you have their paperwork. You also have, arguably, a lot more of their details about their system at home. You can go about this one of two ways. You can go to where their last known address was, because they have to provide this. And you can force your system, your law enforcement to go find them. Go investigate them and find out where they are. There's only so many places they can be. This is for students or J1 visa people. You can find them. It takes work. However, if that takes too much work, you can put political pressure on the countries they came from. If they came from Mexico, they came from Ireland, they came from England, they came from Australia, going, hey, we need to find X, this person, and this person, and this person, and this person. That person, that country will find out very quickly if they're in their country or not. How? Because that person will be paying taxes. If they're not paying taxes, there's a good chance they're either drawing some type of benefits, or they're claiming unemployment benefit, or they're paying taxes. This should be easy enough to find. They have those records very, very simple. So you can enforce those laws. The other visa overstays are people who work. They're very simple to find. You just go to the companies in question going, hey, do you still employ this person? And then when you find them, you deport them. Now, people don't like that word. Oh, you want to deport people? Yes, that's what you sign up for. Because when you get your papers, shall we say, when you get your papers from America And this is the same, by the way, and this happens, you accept these terms and conditions when you enter America. Even when you did what I did in September, when I went on vacation to your country, you understand that part of the agreement is, if you overstay your visa, there's certain fines that you can have to pay, but you can be stopped entering America for over 10 years. That is a law on your books. And that is for people like me who did, when I was on vacation, I think it's 90 days is what I have. I can enter your country like I did in September as a, as a tourist going on vacation. I was there, and when you go to the airport, in case you don't know what other people have to do when you go to the airport to enter your country, you have to give your fingerprints. You have to provide the obviously, they know the day you're going because you're at the airport, but you have to provide the day you're coming back. You have to tell them where you're going, and they can ask you any number of questions, what you're doing, how you're doing it, how you're funding yourself. They can ask you anything, but they take your fingerprints, they take your picture. They go through all this stuff. But like when I went, I gave my flight details of where I was flying. I was flying into New York, and then I was waiting in New York for a couple of hours, and then I was flying to Raleigh, and then I was going to all different places. I provided addresses. I'm always forthcoming. I'm like, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. I don't want any issues with you because I want to enter your country, hopefully a lot going forward. And also, I have no problem providing that information because, again, I do not have a right to be in your country. So I provide all this information. If, let's say, I went, and I would never do this, full disclosure, but let's just say I'm someone else and I got over there and I went, I really like America. I don't want to leave and I'm just going to stay. And even if I stay for like 91 days, or I stay for 100 days, or I stay for 6 months, or I stay for a year, I know full well one of the consequences, I might not be able to enter your country for 10 years. Because one of the questions that you're asked when you go to the airport, even for a tourist visa, is you are asked, have you ever been refused entry into America? Or have you ever overstayed your visa? That's one of the questions that they ask. They can find this out very quickly if you have, and then they might not let you in. This is some of the situations, some of the questions you were asked just to go on a tourist visa for a holiday, for a vacation. When you go to work or when you go to be a student, there is a lot more. It's a background check. There is a lot of things. So you want to solve immigration, enforce the laws that are on the books. Also, it's very simple. Like when you see the lawbreakers going over there, and they break the law, and they find out they're not legal there, just deport them. Get rid of them. I don't care what the law is. Enforce the laws that are in the books if you come across them. Over a period of time, this won't solve overnight, by the way. This will happen over it might take a couple of year process, but if you start enforcing the laws that are in your books, the vast majority of illegal immigration is solved. Now, what do you need to pass a law for? Well, I've tried to break down every narrative that I can find of the major narratives, and that's what I've tried to do over the last couple of, 30, 40 minutes. But I want to give you the solutions, because for those thinking that it's a very simple process, just enforce the laws in the books and what happens, there's plenty that you can discuss, and you can get bipartisan support. If you really want a Democratic bill and a Republican bill to come together, and you want President Trump to sign, there are plenty of things that you can do that are popular in some cases, and that will solve America's immigration problems permanently. The first thing you have to do is to get all sides to understand that legal immigration is not the answer. Legal immigration is the answer. So what can you do? Because some people have said, well, John, look, the reason we don't ever do it is because the visa's on the books. And what about the food industry? What about the local chef? What about the local preppers, the local waiters and the waitresses? It would decimate the food industry. You can't have that. Or you hear all this other job, you've heard this from politicians like John McCain and Jeb Bush, and, we need all these workers, they pick lettuce, or they act out of love, they just want a better future. Okay. Why is it always that we want to push and reward lawbreakers, but we never try and do things the right way? So if you're a person who believes in, you know what, I believe in kind of the free movement of people. Let's just take that one for the first narrative. I believe in the free movement of people. If you want to become and be part of our system, I'm all for it. I don't care where you come from. If you want to be a better you and have a brighter future, come to America. America is the land of opportunity. I want that. I want to reward that. I want to be part of that. And I want America always to be that. Okay. They're all noble intentions. If you want to fix that, then have a long look at the list of visas that you currently supply. You actually have a long list of visas that you can apply under. But then just increase them. Get people to follow the laws. If you want to add more guest workers during the summer to pick lettuce, add that. Do things the right way, but at least give America the right to decide who comes in and who doesn't. And that they are coming for the right intentions. That they are it's clear to them. Let's just take that one. You're going to go pick lettuce for 4 months of the year. Okay. You come, you work hard, you get your payment, you have protection under law, enjoy every benefit America has to offer. Every idea America has to offer, by the end of the 4 months, you leave. Now you can come back, off you go. But that you increase the visa types. Heck, if you really want to, increase the visa numbers. And I'm not going to get into numbers because you can throw wild numbers. Heck, if you even wanted to be what you have and going, you know what, we think we need 10 million new citizens. Because that's roughly, give or take, it's hard to know how many illegal aliens there are, illegal people there are in America. But even if you think they need 10 million, okay, well then, increase the numbers by 10 million. But at least give America the choice of who comes and who goes. These are negotiating points that you can have if you really want a bipartisan bill and support. These are the things you should be discussing. How about using immigration as a system of what America actually needs? So if you're going, well, what would John do if John had power? If John was the almighty God in America, what would he do? I would enforce the laws on the books, and I would get rid of every person who was there illegally. Everyone, young, old, I don't care. If you're there illegal, you don't have a right to be in America. Go home. Now, here's where I will be fair, quote unquote, because fairness is so important. It would be very easy for someone like me who's been through what I have been through to go, and you know what you do then? What you do is you kick all them out of the country, and the 5 million people who did things the right way are at the head of the queue. We're first. But you know what? That's not realistic. I'll even be fair and kind of go, if you just get rid of everyone out of the country who's there illegally, send them back to their country where they came from. But then they can apply to come back. And America can say, and I'm just throwing out these numbers, let's just say America does a stock take of what it needs, and it needs 100,000 seasonal workers to pick the lettuce. It needs 100,000 low-skill jobs to be a waiter, to be a waitress, to be, you know, a cook in the local deli and the diner. Okay. And then you need like 10,000 builders, and then you need 5,000 lawyers and 1,000 bankers. Then you can choose, and then you can go, we have this pool of people. We have the pool of people who want to be there legally, and we have all the people we deported for being illegally. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a system of picking the people. And the minute that you have, let's say you need 1,000 bankers, the minute you hit that 1,000, you stop. Sorry, you want to be a banker. Sorry. Well, I'm sorry, you were number 1,002 on the list. You don't get in. But you can apply next year or the next time we need people. Same with the builders. Same with the waiters and the waitresses. You go through. I'd be willing to get in line with those people who broke the law, who reaped those benefits. But please, this is a personal plea. Stop asking Americans and people like me to feel sorry for them. Because here's the truth of it. Why would I feel sorry for an illegal immigrant? Let me be blunt about it. I waited in line 13 years. And I don't want to dwell on this, but last year was a really bad year for me getting refused. It killed me inside. It killed a part of me that chances are I will never recover from. Because it was my only dream. They were there illegally, and even if they only got to live there for 6 months or a year, and some of them got to live there 10 and 20 years illegally, they got to reap something that they didn't deserve or didn't earn more than I did, and I did things the right way. Why would I feel sorry for them? Why would I feel sorry for them? They got something that I didn't, and I did things the right way, and they didn't. But if America came together and went, you know what, we're going to have this form of quote-unquote amnesty where we're just going to forget the past. If you're here illegally, it doesn't matter. If you're doing things the right way now, we're okay with that. I would welcome that. I'd go, okay, that's okay. That's America's call, and it's fair. It's realistic. There are things you can discuss with the left, with the right, with libertarians, with Bernie Sanders people. Have as many people as you want. But here's what's key. The American people must be the people to decide these numbers. It can't just be, well, what we're going to do is just everyone who wants to come, and anyone who comes can just come. And it can be 1,000 people or it can be 1,000,000 people. Everyone who wants to come can just come. No background check, no information, no skill status, no visa application, no information about you. Just come. Sorry, that doesn't work. Because while there are people with noble intentions, there are people with really, really bad intentions. So how does that fix the food industry? Well, then first, you don't have illegal immigration anymore, but you decide how many people you need, and then you bring them people in. And then they're not living in the shadows, quote unquote. This issue is dead. It doesn't polarize America anymore. The only polarization you'd have on immigration if you did this system going forward is you'd have disputes over how many people you wanted in your country. Then you have the issue of chain migration. Chain migration is where you can get into the country because you have an immediate relative there legally or born there. I don't want to talk too much about this. I know people get upset about it. I find it very frustrating because for me it should be America, and I hate saying this because I don't have a say in this because I'm not an American, but American visa or to get to America, you should want it. It should be something you aspire to. It should be something you want to work for. Not because you have a family member. Not because, hey, my brother's over there legally and I'm going to go with him too. You know, brothers can be very different. They can have very different attitudes, very different skill sets. Just because you're a brother of someone there legally or a citizen, you know, for me, I kind of find it's an interesting way of bringing people. But you saw the big changes in the chain migration where up until 1960s, there was a limit on the chain migration. Now it's just anybody. America has to have that discussion. What visas do you want to give out? Would you prefer more skills-based and a more, you know, integration-based into society? Or would you prefer just because they're someone's brother or someone's parent or someone's son or daughter? That's a question which you all need to have. Then you have another benefit of this. Because as I said earlier on when we talked about open borders, what are the consequences of this? Well, if you actually did this system where that I just spoke about, enforced the laws, and then you had discussions about visa types and visa numbers, what are the consequences of this? One, you won't have an issue that's polarizing America all over the country. Two, you'd be taking away talking points from the media. Three, you wouldn't have a system where left needed votes and the right needed cheap labor. You'd have everyone on the same. Both. But four, can you imagine the impact on crime? Where, first of all, you know, you're not just saying anyone can come into your country. Those who have bad intentions, you know, you obviously heard about Kate Steinle. If you're, you know, if you're in certain conservative circles, you know, the crime, the drink driving, the rape, the assault, you'd have that reduced because you'd be picking from the best of the best. So you would have less pressure on law enforcement. But also the criminals that are in America that also operate outside of America, gangs like MS-13, you wouldn't have them shipping people. You wouldn't have coyotes on the border. You would have less pressure on law enforcement. You'd have less pressure on border security. You'd have better people in America. It's a win all round if you do things the right way. But let me address two last points. Because one of the things I want to do in the last segment, I want to do it, is there is an issue that is never discussed when immigration comes up. And I think it's arguably even maybe a bigger issue than immigration, which we'll get to in a minute. But there's another issue, and just one small point I want to make. People ask me all the time, well, why don't you just go illegally? What's stopping you? America's clearly said the doors are open under the last administration. Just come across the border. The amount of people who say to me, look, I'll meet you at Mexico. Just come across the border with me. You'll be fine. Just get in here illegally. You should be an American. John, if anyone deserves to be an American, it's you. You're so passionate. You have so much love for it. What's stopping you? Many things. One, I have morals and principles. Two, I understand I don't have a right to be an American. But there's also a deeper meaning on this. Because it's a commandment in scriptures. It's a commandment in scriptures. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. I do not have a right to be an American, nor do I have a right to take something that is not mine. And if I went illegally to America, that is exactly what I would be doing. I would be taking something that is not mine. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.